Well, good morning, church. Very nice to be together with you, and I couldn't help but that last song that we're singing, The Goodness of God, hasn't he been so good to each one of us? If you are regular here, you will know that we're doing a series on small group series, and in this series, we've been looking at different ways that we can express our love to those around us. 2 weeks ago, Neville shared from Romans about how we are known by God, cared for by God, and loved by God. And then last week, Ross took it a step further and shared about our devotion to one another, as was exemplified in Acts chapter 2. And so this morning, we're going another step further, and we're looking at the command that Jesus gave us to love one another as he loves us. And that's a pretty big ask. Quite a big jump in the level at which we need to show our love for others. And this love that we have for each other, it will be a witness to the world. So our scripture reading is John chapter 13, just two verses that Pramita read before we had communion, but I will read it to you again. John 13, verse 34, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Note the key phrase there, as I have loved you, okay, as I have loved you. So this morning, we're just going to take a closer look at Jesus' command and also how he loved the world. Jesus gives us the command to love, then he speaks of a new commandment. Jesus' love was very sacrificial. It was a very understanding love, and it was also a very forgiving love. And so we'll look at these as we go through this morning. So John's Gospel has often been given the title, The Gospel of God's Love, or God's Love Letter to the World. And here in these two here in these two verses, and also in John 3:16, Jesus speaks to his disciples out of his great love for them and reminding them of his love and encouraging them to love one another. Now remember when Jesus spoke these words that he was about to leave this earth. Now he was the only example of true love that the world had ever known, and he was going to leave. I mean, he went on and he proved his love by dying on the cross for us. But if Jesus was to be taken out of the world, how were people going to see what love really is? And the answer is that they were to see love in Christ's disciples. That's you and me. All right? Jesus was taken out of the world. And so he has asked us to show the world what his love is like. The love that the disciples felt for Jesus, it was to be transferred to one another. And it's quite probable that the disciples didn't really love each other with the same intensity that they loved Jesus. For example, in Luke chapter 22 and verse 24, they were jealous of one another. They were disputing over who was the greatest. Now, there was also a dispute among them, among the disciples, as to which of them should be considered the greatest. So there was obviously some rivalry there. But they were to love each other so that the world could see what Jesus' love was really like. They wouldn't wash each other's feet. And so Jesus points this out now that they must love one another. The vertical love that the disciples had for Jesus was to be shown to each other in the horizontal way. And so the horizontal love that we have for each other is to show the world what Jesus' love is really like. Now, this command to love, it's actually old. If you look back in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18, the Israelites were instructed, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." But if the commandment is old, in what sense is it new? Because Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you," right? The commandment of Christ was to be exercised in a new way, in a new measure. The God of the universe, the Creator God who created this beautiful world of ours, he came down in human form to live among us, to die for us. This was a new measure of love that the world had not seen. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10. "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Remember in our reading this morning, Jesus said, "As I have loved you, so you must love one another." It's not just that we're to love, but that we're to love as he loved. And that's a big difference. This means we're to live out in our daily lives the love of Jesus so that others around us can see it. Jesus raised this command to an entirely new level. Although the verse in Leviticus states that the Jew was to love his neighbor as himself, the neighbor involved is a Jewish neighbor only, right? Was to love another Jew. But Christ's command, the relationship is spiritual. And our neighbor is any believer, and not just believers, but unbelievers as well. Jesus drew together people of all races, all languages, and we can see that in the Great Commission that was given in Matthew 28. "Therefore, go into all the world and make disciples of people like me." Is that what it said? No. Jesus said, "Make disciples of all nations." So Jesus is wanting his love not to be just shared among us who are the same, but among all nations of the world. We're very privileged in New Zealand to have people from so many different ethnic groups living in our country. And this opportunity presents a wonderful opportunity for us to share the love of Jesus with all nations, as Jesus has instructed us. I was on a bus here in Hamilton just 2 weeks ago, and I noticed that people in New Zealand don't talk on buses. It's sort of, you know, they sit there and just, or else they're, you know, they're on their phone. Anyway, I noticed that there were three or four older Chinese, well, I thought they were Chinese gentlemen on the bus. And I thought, wonder if I can strike a conversation with them. Oh, no, people don't talk on the bus. Better not. What will they think? That was the struggle that I had. So eventually I spoke up and I talked to the gentleman in front of me. I was trying to hear if they were speaking the same dialect as I was, and it turns out they were actually from Inner Mongolia. And so I welcomed them to New Zealand. I just said, "Welcome to New Zealand," and just made them feel welcome. Showing out Jesus' love can be done in so many little different ways. You don't have to preach a 3-point sermon. You don't have to give a tract or something like that. Just show out the love of Jesus, and you'll be amazed how it will open up opportunities for you to talk to people. Another time I was walking through Chartwell Mall, and the Lord prompted me, "Go back and encouraged that cleaning lady. And so I did. I turned around and went back. And she was standing there by her big bin. And I just thanked her for the work that she was doing. And I tell you, that smile went from here to here. She just so appreciated. And all I had done was just to give a word of thanks and appreciation. Do you see how we can show out the love of Jesus? The Christian love is for every individual, everyone for whom Christ died. And the commandment is new in that it becomes inclusive of all people, not just as the Jewish brother, as it was given in Leviticus. Each week I visit a couple in one of the rest homes here in Hamilton. And the husband, Ian, needs hospital-level care. And so he has many caregivers coming into him each day, tending to his daily needs. And soon after they moved in, Ian, at one of the church services that he was at, he felt a specific call on his life to share the love of Jesus to the staff who were looking after him. And they get him up in the morning, help him with his toiletries, shower, and then they'll sit him in the chair, and then they know that Ian has Jesus time. And he reads his Bible. He reads his Bible on his iPad. But often workers will come into his room and just say, "Ian, could you pray for..." And then they'll express a need. Maybe it's a family need. Maybe it's a need that they have. And so often when I visit, I'll say, "Ian, did you have any opportunity to pray for somebody today?" And so he'll share how he prayed. These are the ways that we show out the love of Jesus so that the world might know who Jesus is and how he loves us. As I have loved you. It also means laying aside any status or rank or privilege that we feel that we might have. Jesus showed his love and it was very selfless. He involved in practical needs of helpfulness. In those days, almost everybody walked. And the roads were dirt. They were not concrete paths or asphalt as we have it here. And so their feet would get very, very dirty. And so when they arrive at their destination, it was the job of the servant to wash the feet of the guests that came into the house. The dirty work had to be done. And so Jesus did it for those who should have been doing it for him. He laid down his sense of entitlement and he served. Now, when we show out Jesus' love, we often do it in different cultural ways. And it was one area that I found a bit difficult in Hong Kong because I was given a certain status in the church. And one day I noticed there was a mess on the floor. I know where the mop's kept, so off I went to get the mop. And I came back and I started cleaning up the mess. Well, I was almost mobbed by dear brothers and sisters who felt that I shouldn't be mopping the floor, that I should be doing other things, but they wanted to do it for me. And so, yes, sometimes there are challenges when we want to express our love and serving other people. The new commandment is that we look at the pattern of Jesus' love and we follow that pattern. We live out the love that we see in Jesus. The measure of this love is the standard that we find in 1 Corinthians 13. Now, many of you will know that's the love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13. And this is the love that Jesus brought, and it was a new standard that he brought into the world. And if we take these verses in 1 Corinthians 13 and substitute Jesus for the word love, this is what we get. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. He does not envy, he does not boast, he is not proud, he is not rude, he is not self-seeking, he is not easily angered. He keeps no record of wrong. Jesus does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. He always protects, always trusts, always perseveres. Jesus never fails. Wow, what a standard. And our text for today tells us that we are to love as Christ loved. It's a big jump. Can we substitute our name where the word love is printed? I am patient. I am kind. I do not envy. I do not boast. I am not proud. I am not rude. I am not self-seeking. I am not easily angered. I keep no record of wrongs. I do not delight in evil, but rejoice in the truth. I always protect, always trust, always persevere. I never fail. Not true. Sorry. But you see, this is the standard of love that Jesus wants us to show out to the world. And I was challenged in a very personal way when I was preparing this message. I came back to my house, and there was an ambulance parked right outside my garage, and I needed to get my car out to go to an appointment. They were tending to my next-door neighbour. So I went into my neighbour's house, and I was greeted with the comment, "Nosy neighbours." Oh, I said, "Well, no, actually, I've actually come to ask." It was the St. John's person that said that to me. I said, "I've actually asked to come. Would it be possible for you to move the ambulance so I could get my car out for an appointment?" But it was those words, "nosy neighbour." And I thought, no, that's not true. And there, "but love is not easily angered." And it really stirred me for quite a while. And I thought back to this, do I love as Jesus loved? I didn't say anything in reply, praise God, but it was in here and I was struggling. And this is what it means when Jesus challenges us. Do we love as Jesus loved? It's a challenge, and I was challenged even as I was preparing this message, because it's very humbling when we read 1 Corinthians 13 with our name in it. And that it's a good standard for us to keep reminding ourselves, do we love as Jesus loved? Do those who are not yet Christians, do they see Jesus in me? Because these verses teach us that they can and they will if we love others as Jesus loves us. Remember, this is Christ's new command. Love one another as I have loved you. The command is new in it that there is a new power to love, the power of the Holy Spirit. And we cannot love in our own strength. Without the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we cannot love as Jesus is asking us to love. We can't achieve it by human energy. And so the newness of the command to love like Jesus is not only following the pattern of his behavior, but also following the connection that Jesus had with his Father, with his Heavenly Father. Look at John chapter 15, verses 9 and 10. "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Jesus is saying that the key to his love was his relationship with God the Father. "I abide in his love," it tells us in verse 10. He lives in constant and perfect union with the Father. And so in that way, he can pour out his love into the world. And then Jesus says in the end of verse 9, "Abide in my love." And so as he abides in his Father's love, so we are to abide in his love, in the love of Jesus. And that's how we're able to love each other, as he loves us. He loves us by abiding in his Father. We can love others by abiding in Jesus. And we can see the picture that Jesus has in mind when we look at John 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And we all know that if you break off a branch, off a grapevine, it's going to die. The branch must be attached to the vine. And so that's what Jesus is saying here. Apart from me, you will have no power to love as I want you to love. You cannot love each other as I command you to love if you do not abide in me as I abide in my Father. So the newness of this command, it's not only that he becomes our pattern, but he also gives us the power. But we must keep abiding in Christ to daily keep having that power flowing into our lives that we can share it with others around us. Abiding in Christ. It sounds big, but it means every hour, every part of our day, we're asking the Lord Jesus, what is it you want me to do? Who do you want me to speak to? Where do you want me to go? I was meant to be helping at a missions camp directly after Easter. It was to be held on Great Barrier Island, but it was cancelled. As you well know, we had terrible weather then, and there was a cyclone, and the cyclone was due to hit Great Barrier, and so we never got to the camp. But that when I got news of the camp being cancelled, I looked at my calendar and I thought, I've got a blank week. Oh, what am I going to do? And then I prayed, Lord, what is it that you want me to do in this week where there's nothing on my calendar? This is what Jesus wants us to do every day of our lives. Lord, what is it? Yes, you can go ahead and plan, but commit those plans to the Lord and just say, Lord, is there something you want me to change? Is there something I shouldn't be doing? Maybe you would just work through your list. But when God prompts you, obey the Lord, because that's when you'll meet the people that he wants you to meet and you'll be able to share the love of Christ. The new standard of love, it was a sacrificial love. And we celebrated that this morning when Jesus gave his life for us. We don't often get asked to sacrifice our life for others, but this is what Jesus did for us, and that's the standard. Willing to go the whole way in loving and caring for others. There was no limit to what his love would give or to where it would go. There was no demand on Jesus that was too much. And if love meant the cross, Jesus was prepared to go to the cross. And sometimes we make the mistake of thinking that love is meant to give us happiness, and in the end it does. But there may well be pain and there may be a cross in the process of loving others. This love demands a greater understanding. Jesus knew his disciples through and through. You know, he had lived with them every day, well, pretty much every day for 3 years. And you never really know people until you've lived with them, right? I mean, we see people in our workplace and everybody puts on their best. Or in the cafe afterwards, you know, we have a chit-chat over a cup of tea and everybody presents their best. But we don't really know them, right, until we've lived with them. Those of you who are married, you'll know that. You didn't really get to know your spouse until you began to live. And then you begin to see their moods or things that irritate them or... Yes, need I say any more? Jesus had lived with his disciples day in, day out for 3 years. He knew all that there was to know about them. And yet he still loved them. He even died for them. Students at East West College of Intercultural Studies, where I serve, also where Cara serves, they learn as much outside the classroom as they do in the classroom. And what do I mean by that? They have to live with others. And you might have a German and a Swiss and different nationalities living together. They've got to learn to work together. They've got to learn how to get on with one another. And I've had many mission leaders over the years have said to me, send me somebody who's been through a residential missionary training because they know how to live with people, they know how to work with people, and how to get on with people. One of our responsibilities in Hong Kong was to train and prepare Hong Kong Chinese for cross-cultural mission. And if they were applying to WEC, the mission that I belong to, they would need to come and live with our family for 6 weeks. Now, we lived on the 20th floor of a multi-story building. It's only 36 floors. We were on the 20th floor. Our flat was 35 square metres, okay? That's about 375 square feet. And Ross tells me it's about the size of a double garage. So we were a family of four. And then we, sometimes a candidate was a single, sometimes there was a married couple, and on two occasions there was a family of three. And so here we are living in 35 square metres. And you really, really get to know each other very well. Yeah, it was a challenge. Many times it was a challenge. And the only room that I could go in and cry and not be heard was when I was having a shower and the water's pouring down and I would just pour out my heart to the Lord with the struggle that I was having. There were some lighter moments. My husband was trying to teach one of the candidate husbands a little bit of woodwork and doing repairs. And so he'd asked this candidate if he would saw some wood. And so he had the wood on a stool, and of course he was sawing away, and he kept sawing, and he kept sawing, and he sawed into the stool itself. And our daughter, who was only about four at the time, she looked and she said, "Uncle Andrew, you are naughty." So there were lighter moments, and that helped us get through, but when you live with each other, you begin to know each other. And that's how Jesus knew his disciples, and yet he was saying, love them. He loved them. A new commandment, it also involves forgiveness. It was a forgiving love. One of the leading disciples was to deny Jesus. They would all forsake him in his hour of need. They never, in the days of his flesh that he was on earth, they never really understood him. They were blind. They were insensitive. They were very slow to learn. They lacked understanding. And in the end, they were cowards. They all left him. But Jesus held nothing against them. Nothing. There was no failure that he could not forgive. The love which has not learned to forgive, it cannot do anything except shrivel up and die. Enduring love must be built on forgiveness. And that's what Jesus' love was built on. He loved us, forgives our sins, even day by day. Even when I went to the Lord after those words of that first responder, St. John's, really angered me in my heart. I went to the Lord and just said, Lord, please forgive me and help me to love as you loved. Without forgiveness, love is bound to die. So, as we conclude, we can see God's love. Yes, he gave us the command to love, but it was a new commandment, a new measure, a new level, a new power that he gave us to love as others loved. It was a sacrificial love. It was an understanding love, and it was a forgiving love. And for many people, the closest model of how we should love one another is watching a group of Christians, how they interact with one another in a sports team or on a picnic or when they come into our church. How do we welcome new people that come into our church? How do we look after new visitors afterwards? Do we look after them? Do we welcome them? I remember being in Hamilton Gardens once, and I saw a group of young people, and I was really impressed with the way they treated each other. And I thought, wow. And I saw them on several different occasions and in several different areas of the garden. And in the end, I went up to them and I spoke to them, and I said, you know, are you local here? Oh, no, we're from a church in Auckland. Oh, I said, I'm just so impressed with the way that you care for one another and treat one another. And I could see it. They didn't say anything to me before. I just watched them and I saw it. What do people see in us? Do they see the love of Jesus? And this is a challenge. How do newcomers, when they come into our small groups or our home groups, are they welcomed? I really appreciate my small group. We study the Bible together, we pray together, we share life's experiences together. And I so appreciate the fellowship that we can have in our home group. And if you're not in a home group, I really would encourage you to join up with one. Derek is there, and can you just put your hand up, Derek? Yep, there's Derek. And if you're not in a home group, there are different home groups on different days at different times, and Derek will be able to help you find one that you can feel welcomed, that you can be loved, that you can share love with those who are in your group. Or join the welcome greeters who greet people as they come into the church each Sunday morning. There are many, many ways that we can show out our love in very practical ways and ask the Lord to lead you, to guide you, and to show you how you can express his love with other people around us. So, yes, God's standard of love is high, but he's given us the power and the strength to love as he loved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your example. You are the creator. You are one with God the Father, and yet you came in human form and you loved us. You lived on this world, in this earth. You loved us and you died for us. And Lord, we thank you. Thank you for the challenge that you've given to us to love others as you have loved us. Lord, would you help us in the coming days and weeks ahead, that you would give us the strength and the wisdom and the knowledge of how we can express your love to other people through acts of kindness, through words of encouragement. Lord, would you help us and guide us that we may show out the love of Jesus to those around us. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you.